We have so much to do today. This is good. And it's all about fathers. All right, we'll get to the fathers here. Yeah. This is my first year without my father being alive on this earth. So I just wanted to honor him a little bit at first here, if you don't mind. I have a song that I wrote for his memorial that I'm going to show here in just a little bit, but how precious my father has been to me, how much he poured into me, and I want to set up this song just a little bit. He grew up in the mountains in Colorado, a little boy that was kind of an oops. His next brother in his family was like 9 years older than him, so he was kind of the tail end, and But he grew up, the ranch he grew up on initially is actually registered as a historic, if you Google Bierman Ranch, it'll come up. It's in Wikipedia or whatever, and it's a place out in the country. My grandpa actually built it, hewn these logs, and I mean, it's 20 below degree weather, and they're, you know, they got a stove and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, that's where my dad grew up. And so he rode horses and he experienced nature a lot. And man, when I was probably 8 or so, he started taking me elk hunting. And we'd go, the biggest thing for me was just trying to keep up with him. He's 6'2", and he could hike all over anything, you know. But the experience of nature, and there was such a response he had just to nature. It's such a tender heart. He kind of grew up in this cowboy environment, and yet he's had such this tender heart towards music, for one thing, and then given his heart to God. He went to this one-room schoolhouse, and in this video, you'll be able to see it. It's actually still there. It's a historic place now, just a one-room schoolhouse, kind of like Little House on the Prairie or whatever that was, you know, that show. But he had this teacher, Florence Rawlinson. I don't think she could do anything musical, but she was the one that introduced him to music and started playing these instruments and stuff and introduced him to the Lord. And that's actually his introduction to Jesus. He later gave his life more fully. But anyway, she introduced him. She had this really shaky little voice. So one of the lines in this song is, "From a warbling witness that joined in the praises." And it's referring to Florence Rawlinson, this lady, really precious lady. But this song, when I went to think about Dad, because he affected me with that same kind of response to nature, to and how it's related to God, and music just became such a direct outlet for him. Playing, and I don't know how, he got me into classical guitar from a country and Western background that he learned classical on an electric guitar from listening to somebody play it on a vinyl record and skipping and going back and learning and stuff. And it's like, but that's a big part of my heart. So at the very end of this song is one of the first songs he taught me. It's called Lagrima. And I kind of changed it just a little bit at the end. It's the last phrase kind of this song. But I thought I had to put that on there because this is something he really put into me. And then he's playing on there. Just a note, he's not playing Lagrima. I'm going to show him on the video. He's playing this other piece that he really liked called Recuerdos de la Umbra. And it uses a technique that requires fingernails. And he never had fingernails. Well, I when I studied classical, you have to have fingernails. And I got him to actually go get sculptured nails. So he, in this, later on, he couldn't do it anymore, but he was still playing in this clip that I have on here. And he's playing Recuerdos. I slowed it down so it's not too authentic, but with sculptured nails. And I thought this was precious, a precious part of him, because he always was open to learning and to being, you know, He grew up Assemblies, I grew up Assemblies of God. He was an Assemblies of God pastor, Pentecostal. I mean, we were pretty hard line, you know, and everything. And my daughter goes off to college and marries this Mark Hankins, just put it like that, which was introducing some other beliefs, not divergent, but new things. And he opened himself up to this, and he actually he bridged a lot of gaps. He was with Rhema Group, he was with some In Christ Group, and he'd go all over the world, and you'll see some of this. He ended up going to when I was a little kid, he wanted to go he wanted to take our whole family to the Canary Islands and be a missionary. And the Assemblies of God wouldn't send him because we had five kids in our family. So then we all left, and they wouldn't send him because he was too old. So he just would go to India. He went all around the world. And everything he did was all about releasing this song from the inside. It's a song called, referred to as the Song of the Redeemed, those who know the Lord. And it's something that just came out of him. And so when I was writing this song, that was the thing that goes on. He's not here anymore, but that heart still goes on. And he's gone all over the world, spoken to people personally, and he was always sure. We'd go out to eat, and our waitress would come by, and he'd look up at her and he'd say, "Do you know Jesus?" Wherever he went, he did that kind of a thing. But whenever we'd get together, especially towards the end, all we did was sing heaven songs, talking about seeing Jesus, gonna get to be there with Jesus. So towards the end of this video, my mom's in there also, and they're walking down the street, and I'm thinking they're leading us. He's saying, "Come sing this song with me." And that's been, sorry, that's my dad, always calling, "Hey, let's go sing this song unto Jesus. Let's get in his face. Let's magnify him." And so I'm sorry, but this is my representation of my dad today that I just wanted to share with you. I wrote it for the memorial service, and then I just kind of recorded it here so that I could keep it beyond now. But I wanted to share it with you this morning and just remember my dad and let this be a little bit of what I want to share beyond this too. So, Chico. In the thundering roar of the lightning, the unending crash of surf on the beach, from a warbling witness that joined in these praises, came a call to be one of the throng. Song of the ages, with all creation in lifting up praises to the Creator who became our Savior and with open arms all welcomes in, living in total abandon. Has nothing before us, and the one that for whom it is so. By responding with joy to
for calling and taking his place in a seat right beside. Creation was formed as the old was forsook. New image progressively took the purpose for life now eternal. To know well the groom and with passion his bride, proclaiming his love as a life sacrifice, and so desperately beckoning on. Come join the song of the ages with all creation in lifting up praises. Let your in total abandon, in knowing of him far above other passions, letting the chorus have nothing before us, as only his glory is shown.
So I was so blessed to have somebody that made it possible for me to enter into the world, him and mom together, but I'm so grateful that it didn't stop there. And this is kind of what I want to touch on a little bit today because, you know, I, having been a father myself, our kids are grown now. You know, you can go back and you say, man, I wish I could have done this better. I wish I could have done that better. But, you know, there's something that we can be confident in is when we're going towards the right direction, we can trust God with those things. And we can look unto the one who is the good father. We sang about him today. And we can see a model for us to go towards. Because what I found out with my dad is that he didn't ever stop fathering me. You know, it was precious because when I was young, he didn't have a whole lot of money. Real quick, we moved to Eastern Colorado when I was 7, and there's nothing out there. And he never had a job. We never had our own house. We lived in a borrowed home till I graduated and went to college. And but we never lacked for anything. And I never felt like we were missing anything. We always had a new car. We were always blessed. God always took care of us, you know. But in fact, I paid for my own college and everything. In these later years, he's been one of our most faithful supporters here at the church, and gave from his ministry. So it was something like he just never stopped having that heart for us. And I miss both of them because they always gave me a call on Monday morning and told me what a good job it was on Sunday, you know, that thing, you know, it's like that encouragement that you get is something that you miss that part of it. But how precious he is, him and mom, that's why I wouldn't put mom and him both, because they're together now, you know. They're walking in the streets of glory now and they're looking back over their shoulder. Let's do this together, right? But I want to look at this because there is a difference. What happened with my father, and he wasn't perfect, but he gave me a name, and then he modeled what a good father is for me. And there's a difference. You know, there's a lot of people spawning children. But going beyond that, going beyond the birth is something that we need to talk about a little bit. So I just want to go, if you can hang with me just a few moments, I want to get a contrast here that we get from the Word of God, okay? So to father then, when we just think about fathering, it has to go beyond just conception. And I've got 4 things I want to look at. Just go draw out from these real quick as characteristics that we're going to get from God. Because when we look at fathering, we'll get messed up if we look at people. How many get messed up by people looking at, I mean, you know, sometimes in church can be the biggest hang up. Well, they did this. And so you want to give up on something because if somebody didn't do it right. Well, that doesn't mean you quit on the concept or you quit on the process. And so it's so good to be able to look at some things here real quick. So fathering beyond conception is going to be giving them a name. What is that? That gives them an identity, doesn't it? And a heritage, right? You're giving them everything that you've had up to this point gets poured into them, right? You provide necessities, protection, comfort, support. That's just being responsible, isn't it? Doing what you need to take care of them. Discipline and guidance. How many like that part? But that's a necessary thing that a father needs to do. A father can do it in a way that a mother can, but I remember when my father, I was talking to my brother about this a couple of days ago because he's speaking up in Wisconsin right now, and he said, "Hey, do you got any stories you can tell about Dad?" And I said, "Well, I remember when I talked back to Mom that one time." And I never did that again. Because my father, and I was writhing on the floor. It did a lot of good. Okay, but and then guidance, direction, and how to go. That needs to come from a father, doesn't it? Okay, so these are some of the fathering elements, right? And then here's the most important one, though, because it's really hard to tell somebody what to do if you're not doing it. It's hard to be something if you're not it. If you're not what you're telling somebody to be. And so the most important thing is to instruct by example, right? To live it and to demonstration. And that's something I can just really say of my father. He preached a lot of things and then he lived it at home all the time. Yeah. He loved my mom. He protected my mom, obviously. It's like And then he loved me a whole bunch too. It's like at our memorial service, everybody's saying how much Dad loved everybody. And I just had to get up and say, yeah, but he loved me the most because he spanked me. All right, let me get into this though real quick because there's 3 places and they're all in the New Testament that refer to Abba as Father. There's just 3 places. And the Abba thing is what changed. Because in the Old Testament, there's references to God being the father of the children of Israel, right? But there's nobody calling him father. There's nobody naming him father. And this is kind of where I want to get here. Because there's things about, you know, I saw somebody saying this. I saw some post. Said, you know, you can, as a pastor, you can call me buddy. You can call me friend. You can call me any, you can call me Steve. You can call me whatever you want. But if you want me to be your pastor, amen, you need to call me pastor. Amen. Because something happens, you lay an expectation and you open up the ability to be served in a certain way when you speak that. Okay? And I'm not trying to make anybody do this, but I'm just saying people will be what you call them.
That's
for
right.
You. Does this make sense? So I thought it was kind of interesting because in the Old Testament, nobody really called God Father. Not Godfather, but God Father, right? But something changed with Jesus because in the Old Testament, their concept of Father was a founder. You know how Father can be, you know, the fathers of this country, the founders of this country, yeah. Right? And that's how they kind of considered the fathers, God being a father. He's the founder. He's the creator. He's the one that instigated everything. But something changes when he's not just the one that created you, but he begot you. Because something I got from my father was DNA. I don't think I look a whole lot like him, but I got all the good stuff. You get an impartation of your identity from being begotten. Okay, let's look at this. These three passages here. Mark 14:36 says, Abba, Father. This is when Jesus, where was he? He was in the garden, right? He was getting ready to go to sacrifice himself. And he says, actually he's saying Father twice. Abba is the Syriac version of Abba, of Father, and the Father is the Greek version of it. The Abba is what an Israeli child would call their dad, whereas the Father was more of a formal, a more of a founder, Lord. So you could say the first one would be Father, Dad versus Father, Lord. The Lord one is one you're just sitting back in, you're almost distant from. But the Abba one endears you to them. You're intimate with them. And you're gaining something from them that is more than just a recognition of who they are. So Jesus said this in the garden. He said, Abba, Father. He's talking to somebody that he has intimate understanding with. He's close to his. This isn't just God somewhere else. This is God close, right? He says, everything is possible for you. Man, I saw this different when I was reading it this time. He said, how many believe everything? God can do anything. And Jesus did too in the garden. He said, God, I know you can do everything. Not just God, you can. Abba, Father. You care about me. You really care about me. And he says, Abba, Father, I'm your son here. Please take away this thing that I've got to do, this cup of suffering away from me. And yet, I want your will to be done and not mine. There's a connection between the Abba and the submitting my will to him. Because what happens when you get close to a father that all those things that we were looking at, they provide for you. Discipline is something that actually endears you to your parent because it's actually an expression of love. If it's not done with anger, if it's not done, you know, over the top, it actually is letting you know. Man, I thought about this. I was ornery. I had three older sisters, and I was the boy that came along, and they had to put up with me. And boys have this stuff called testosterone that makes them say no when they should say yes and all those kinds of things, right? And I just remember this. I could tell when I had something coming. Does anybody, Zach, you're laughing too hard. Are you identifying with this? I knew when I needed a swat. I knew when I needed some correction. And it was like, when it finally came. And it was almost like, you know, if it doesn't come, maybe he doesn't like me anymore or something. am I just telling my own story here, or does anybody identify this? Children need to be corrected. And they actually, if it's done correctly, they like it. And it makes you closer to them. I have learned how to do this better, Hayden, since since I got started with Hayden. All I could remember was writhing on the floor with my telling my mom no. So I thought that's what you had to do all the time. But no, there is a way to do it in love. And that correction actually makes you submit your will to them now. Now you're not doing it because you have to. Now it's not Father, Lord. It's Abba, Father. Now I want to do what you want me to do. In fact, doing what you want me to do is more important than anything else in my life. In fact, if I don't do what you want me to do, I'm going to feel like I've missed something, like I've failed in some way. Can you see the difference? I thought this was really precious, because what does Jesus do? He says, it's up to you, Abba, Father, but I'm into doing what you want. And because of that, I'm going to submit my will to your will. Isn't this cool? All right. Here's another place in Romans 8:15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. Oh, so Jesus didn't just come to do it. He came to demonstrate it. You know what? Jesus is actually called the Everlasting Father, right? The Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Want to sing a Christmas song? All right. So he isn't asking us to do something that he didn't do. He's modeling this for us, isn't he? Right? And so he's saying, what I've come to do is make it so that my Father, the one that I'm one with, the one that I call Abba, you can call him Abba too. See, this is such a wonderful connection for us. That God wants to take us into a relationship with him where it's not just Lord, Father. It's Abba. But all the parts of Abba. Not just the touchy-feely stuff. Because we used to sing, I remember Stephen, what's that? No. There's a guy who wrote this song. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Stephen Fry. Deep within my soul I cry. It was just a pretty little chorus we used to sing. And you know, you can just, oh, God, just wonderful. He just loves me. But you know what? He corrects us too. And we'll see this. So, out of love. So for him to be Abba, Father, he's going to need to be all at least these four things that I'm looking at, right? Sure. For him to be that. Otherwise, everything that we don't submit to that or we don't experience that in him, there's still a distance of where he's still further away. He's still maybe Lord, but not Abba. And with that is a retention of our will also. A lot of times our will can be held back because we're not experiencing him that way. And he said, man, I'd like you to do this. And you're not saying Abba to him because he's not Abba. He said, I want you to give up your life and find my life. I can't do that. I'm sorry. You're not Abba to me yet. Then we're going to have an opportunity here today, aren't we? To make him Abba if he isn't. Because you don't get to know the goodness of God without letting him be your good, good father. Amen? All right, one more here. Galatians 4:6. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. So we'll look at this when we're going forward. When we receive Jesus, we receive this spirit that transforms us from Old Testament He's the father of our nation. He's the founder. He's the creator. Now, Jesus is no longer the only begotten father. He's the firstborn. Now we're born. Now he's given us his DNA. Now we have his identity. Now we're one with him. Amen? So the town I grew up in, they had the gas stations where they full service, right? They wash your windshield, they pump your gas, and never get out of the car. And I never paid anything either. You know why? They knew who my father is. I just wave at them and drive off. Dad pays for it later, you know what I'm saying? Now, I didn't abuse that, but you know what I'm saying? It's like there's something about when you develop that relationship with that father that it's no longer somebody somewhere else. I'm actually connected to him. I have his name. I'm in his household. I'm one with him. Amen? Okay. All right. This is what 1 Peter 1:3 says here. Let's look at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has done what? He's begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead for an inheritance incorruptible. That means I inherit the same thing. It's like I have that name. Right? All right. I'm just going to go through these real quick. So Matthew 6:26. Remember my list up there? What did I have? I say, first of all, he's going to give us a name. He's going to give us identity. He's going to take care of us, isn't he? Matthew 6:25. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. It's kind of what we were talking about with Cody, right? It's like, let's don't worry about these things. He's going to take care of us, right? Why? Because he's a good father. He's Abba Father. But he has to be Abba Father for this to take place. Can you see this? Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly what? Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? He's a good father, isn't he? So when you begin to do this, you begin to trust him for those things. It's nice to have a scripture. But when you actually do it, what are you doing? He's not just Lord anymore. He's Abba. He's the one that takes care of me. He's given me his name. And now he's taking care of me because I'm his child. Amen? He's a good, good father. That's who he is. Yes, because I'm his child, that's who I am. Right? Yeah. All right. John 17:11. Now I'm departing from the world and they are staying in the world. Jesus is praying to his Father. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. This is a different fathership, isn't it? And it's actually something we can begin to model ourselves as fathers. Now hang with me on this because this is a faith thing. When I'm thinking about what I need to be a father, some of the stuff I wish I had learned before I got started. Because some of this has to be applied by faith. Oh, this is what it looks like. It's kind of like what you were talking about. What is a father? I think these are some of those things that you actually, when you begin to call yourself a father, this is what you need to be visualizing. Right? I'm giving them my very nature. I'm giving them. And so that means I got to work on mine. I got to be right myself because they're getting what I have to give them. Amen? And then I'm going to have to take care of them. I can't just say they're good on their own. No, there's a responsibility I have for them, right? Then there's the correcting part here, Hebrews 12:5. Just be with me. I want to read this real quick. Man. Because God loves us so much that he doesn't leave us the way we are, right? And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Man, this does not like sin. How many want to come give your life to God today? Well, we'll look at this because this is it's not getting beat and writhing on the floor kind of punishment. It's a little bit different because he said, I'm going to put my spirit inside of you now. Yeah. And it's going to correct you in a different way. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. He's being Abba, right? Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? Don't ask anybody today, right? Because if God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are really not his children at all. Wow-wee. Huh. Okay, I just want to look at, though, what does it mean to be disciplined by God? Because he's not going to come down and hit us with a sledgehammer, and we don't need to be worried about those kind of things, right? But what happens? To me, it's like what happened to me. I knew I had it coming, and I needed to be right with my father. He needed to make a change in me for that to take place. What's happening? It's inside of me. I need to get rid of the guilt, right? John 16:8. And when he comes, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. When you become born again, begotten of God, he becomes your Abba Father. Now you have this spirit that comes inside that starts to say, ah, Father don't like that, right? He doesn't like that. When he comes, he will do what? Convict the world of its sin, right? And of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. What happens? Something happens on the inside of us. Now, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ, but your heart is going to let you know when you're not right with God, and it's not going to feel good. It's condemnation. It's darkness. It's bondage. And it's not going to be good. That is the punishment you're going to get. Can you see this? And God's not actually doing it to you. You've done it to yourself, right? But it's part of the fathering process. Now, what is the answer? To feel bad and to stay away? No, you go back to the Father because he's your Abba Father. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. John 3:21. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. So what happens? What do? We say, God, forgive me. Amen? That's a whole lot better than a belt. And we can, but we have to go. We have to go to him. But that's the punishment is going to happen. Many people are saying, I don't hear God. I don't, why is these things happening to me? And they've never actually gone to God and let him be their Abba Father. Your heart will let you know if you can have confidence towards him. Now, as a father, you can tell when your kid has done something wrong on the father's side too, can't you? They're not quite as tight with you. They don't want to come maybe jump in your lap unless they're really deceptive. Okay. All right. Let's go to John 5. Coming to God in confidence can emulate what we see him doing. So here's what I just want to look at here. This last one. This is the last one. Are y'all good?
Yeah.
All right. So the last one is, don't you like it that God doesn't just tell us to do things? He shows us how to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what a real father will do.
Absolutely.
They'll demonstrate how to do it.
Yes.
Right? Don't just go cut the grass. This is how you do it, you know. And God does the same thing with us. Watch, this is so precious because Jesus reveals this. And this is such a revelation of of the fathership of God to Jesus. He says, this is what you need to be able to have also. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son. Now he's talking about himself here, right? But he's talking about a real father-son relationship. The thing that we can strive towards as fathers and as children too, right? The son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the father doing. That means this is behavioral education, isn't it? You're going to learn by observing. Whatever the father does, the son also does. For the father loves the son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. This relationship with a father, with Jesus' father, he was talking about this with regard to healing people and ministering to people. He said, this happened, I got this from my father. Yeah. I didn't get this on my, God doesn't just tell us to go do something. He says, you come get in my presence and you'll see yourself doing this because you'll see me. I'm telling you what, there's an opportunity for a relationship with God today that is not once a week, that's not just in the morning, but it's walking and talking with him. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah, so good.
Where you get to the place where you're more familiar with his movements than any other political figure's movements or what all, you know, all these different places. We can get caught up with so much else going on in the world, and why would we ever notice what God's doing? Because we're not giving him any time. To have an Abba Father, you got to spend some time. That's one of the things that kind of would grieve me the most, I guess, with my father in the last days, is I just didn't get to spend much time with him. It's clear up in Colorado. I got to make a special trip up there. And then you got to get back, you know, and it's like, ah. But that time has become so very precious. And God values that. And you know what? He'll take anything we give him. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
And he'll make something of it. But the more we can, the more he will impart. The more we can, the more he'll correct. The more we can. Amen?
Yeah.
So, I just want to end with this. So, how do we honor our fathers and our father? Because I think we can do a couple. We're honoring fathers today. But these elements of who God is to us, they are something I think that we can consciously, man, we don't really spend very much time on this. I know y'all might be getting sleepy or hungry or whatever else is going on, but we really haven't talked very much about this, have we? Not really. But there's an opportunity in just these four elements of fathering that we can begin to apply by faith in our relationship with God. So that by just calling him Father, we're visualizing all those elements of how he is our Father. And it becomes something we can access, this aspect of who he is for us. Amen?
Amen.
That was an exclamation mark. Right? All right. Right? Let's see, where did that train get off the track? So it was like I was saying, though, with you know, how you can call somebody and that's what they're going to be for you. There's an opportunity for us to do this with all the fathers in this place today. To take that modeled fathering template that we get from God and to actually speak it over people. When I say Happy Father's Day, Levi, you can actually put some meat into that this guy, he imparts his nature, he lives it, he's not just pushing something that he doesn't really believe in fact, he's spending time with his father so his kids can know his father, right? He's supporting them. He's so diligent. I'm sorry, I'm getting stuck on just thinking how awesome you are, man. But you know, so when we're saying Happy Father's Day, it can be just light and silly, but it can also be powerful. And when we call somebody Father, instead of just, we can call them by their first name, but today we're calling them Father, aren't we? It should mean something. And I'm so grateful that with Jesus, we get this example of what the Father can be. Father God. He can be Abba Father. Amen? He become very personal to us. So much so that it transforms our will. We just can't wait to please him. Amen? We've had this interaction with him. He's changed us. He's corrected us. He's guided us. He's made our life secure. Amen? And this is the opportunity that Jesus came to give us. I like this. He said, I didn't just come to do it myself. Now you can call him Abba. Amen? Isn't this good? What a wonderful way to consider all of our men today. To have this faith visualization, each one of them. Amen? What are all my things here? All right. Just go back here real quick. All right. So we do have a church app. This is what I'm looking at. I'm looking at our church app, and it has all my notes in it. It's called New Life Church LH. So if you don't have this yet, you can access it and get it anytime you like. You can put your own notes in there if you like. So I'm saying that because it's very good to not just hear something today and do nothing with it tomorrow. We have to live this, amen? We have to do something with this. He's come to be our Father. He's promised to never leave us. He's not promised to always forgive us. And he said, all I need you to do is come, and I will be a father to you. Not your perception of fatherhood. It will be mine. Amen? So we have to find out what that is and access it by faith. Amen? He's going to give us his name. It's the name that's above every other name. Amen? Sometimes we can lift up the name of Jesus, but you know what? He puts us right in it. He gives our identity right with his name. Amen? Provides for all of our needs. He disciplines us by this unction inside that says, let's don't do that. And he allows us to be able to walk in righteousness. Beautiful thing. And then we get into his presence. We worship him. We spend time with him. And he guides our steps. Amen? He causes our lives to have purpose beyond just us. Man, when we're just stuck in our own thing, we'll be that for the rest of our life. But God wants to get us into a realm where it's kingdom stuff, eternal things. Amen.